This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, hitting harder than a punch from Jake Paul. It is Vince Quinn with you on CBS Sports Radio. Back-to-back nights. It's like old times. It's nice to do a Friday and then a Saturday into a Sunday again. So a lot of things to get to, by the way, because tonight's insane. Like yesterday, there was a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, a lot of things happened in college sports. You had all sorts of crazy, wacky things. We talked about Dallas to start the show. You look at how embarrassing things were for the Lions on Thanksgiving. We talked about that. But everything that happened today is just out of control. And out of control is really the way to describe it, because here's what we're dealing with right now. Is you look around the NFL and the COVID situation has suddenly gotten dramatically more urgent. There's all sorts of developments. We had three different developments all happen today all across the NFL. So you have three different teams, three different situations, all of them getting to a point where the NFL is now being forced a little bit towards the brink. Now, where all of this starts is in Denver. So Denver's in a really fascinating situation, right? I mean, you wouldn't generally expect it because, let's be honest, I thought Denver would be a lot of fun going into the season. They're generally an unremarkable team. Drew Locke was hurt. When he's been healthy, he hasn't really been that good. It's just been disappointing. Now, here's where things get really unique for Denver. Here's why Denver today is suddenly a big deal. Denver is going to, believe it or not, play a game on Sunday without a quarterback. They will not have a quarterback. Now, this was a bit of a surprise to Vic Fangio, because here's the thing. Earlier on Saturday, because it's a morning show, so we're going to count this as Sunday. But on Saturday, Vic Fangio asked about the quarterbacks, whether or not he'll have one of them available or maybe three of them available. Here's what Vic Fangio said.
Well, they're in the meetings, they're more than 6 feet apart from each other. So if you're more than 6 feet apart from each other, you don't show up on the contact tracing as a contact. you know, it's when you're within 6 feet or less that it would show up. So all our meetings are set up to where everybody's spread out.
Yeah, so that's a nice sentiment, but apparently the NFL didn't see it that way. So here's the problem that Denver's in right now is they had a quarterback, Jeff Driscoll. He gets positive for COVID. He tests positive. Now, all of the other quarterbacks were in the room with him. Now, while they were 6 feet apart, as Vic Fangio said, the thing that he didn't note and maybe the thing that he horribly overlooked was the idea that those guys, those quarterbacks, and this is Drew Lock. This is it's Brett Rypien, right? I always want to say Mark Rypien, but it's Brett Rypien. And then it's Blake Bortles. Miss Blake. All of those guys were in the same room as Jeff Driscoll, 6 feet apart, maybe more, but no masks, indoors. And so the NFL looked at that and goes, well, those guys are high risk. They can't play. So now Denver, they find out on Saturday that they have to play a football game against the New Orleans Saints. They're playing the Saints. Saints are really good. Taysom Hill or not, the Saints are really good. And they've got to go into that game without a quarterback. Who is playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos? That's a hell of a question. Well, let me tell you, his name is Kendall Hinton. Now, Kendall Hinton on the practice squad. Okay, practice squad quarterback. It's bad. It's not horrible. Why would you say there's no quarterback? Well, actually, he's a wide receiver. That's the problem that Denver's run into here. They have a practice squad wide receiver who played a little bit of quarterback at Wake Forest. And by the way, the numbers that I was looking over them, not great. He's going to suddenly be thrown into starting at quarterback within 24 hours against the Saints. I feel so bad for that kid. And we'll talk about him later. Royce Freeman, who's a backup running back for the Broncos. Well, now he is the backup quarterback. So that's Denver. Now, by the way, again, there's three incidents that are going on in the NFL right now. So the Denver Broncos playing a game tomorrow without a starting quarterback, with no real quarterback to speak of, that's one of the few things that the NFL is dealing with right now. And with this just being the one element in itself of having a professional team play a professional game without a professional quarterback, you might ask the question, should the NFL continue to play? Should they pause? Should they stop? One of the things that's been brought up is, hey, maybe you take a week off. You get back to it. Is that what they should do? Is that the right answer? Just based on the idea that Denver alone doesn't have a quarterback. Should they play this? Should they take the week off? Should they just stop? 855-212-4227. Now, again, that's one of three things. Let's go to option item number two. Because right now, San Francisco, they don't have a home stadium. This is a fun one. Here's what happened. Is Santa Clara County, which is where the 49ers are located, out in California, they've decided to set some restrictions. Now, here's a member of the county talking about the restrictions. His name is James Williams, and how this impacts the 49ers.
For professional, collegiate, and youth sports, all recreational activities that involve physical contact or close proximity with persons outside of one's household, including all contact sports, will be temporarily prohibited.
So there you go. The 49ers cannot play in their own county. Can't play. So now they got to find somewhere else to go. Luckily, unlike the Broncos, who just figure out they have to build an entire playbook around a guy who's been playing wide receiver and is now playing quarterback, and they have to do that in less than 24 hours without the ability to get together and actually practice anything, a feat in itself. Luckily, the 49ers, they're on the road this week. They're playing the Rams. They're going to L.A., so they've got a week to figure these things out. But you do have, with Denver no quarterback, you now have another team that in a week is going to have a home game and no home. So what do you do, right? That's a very complicated, messy, ugly situation. We'll get a little bit more into San Francisco later in the show. But that is something the NFL's dealing with now. That just popped up today. So again, should the NFL continue to play? Should they stop? Should they pause? What should they do? That's a messy situation, right? It's something that was ugly to begin with, unheard of to begin with. Because there's enough times where we look at a team and we go like, oh, who's starting this week? Oh, that guy's starting? Well, they really don't have a starting quarterback. You know, so you can make those jokes all you want, but there's literally no quarterback in Denver. So when you pile that up with San Francisco, is that enough to pause the season, the NFL season? Is that enough to stop the NFL season? Should they keep playing? And then here's the third element, is you have the Steelers and the Ravens. Now, what you've seen over the past couple of days is the game's been moved. It was supposed to be Thursday. Obviously, it was going to be a Thanksgiving game, 8 o'clock. That game got moved. It was pushed to Sunday. Now that game's been pushed to Tuesday. But it's gotten dicier when you look at that game. Here's what happened. Baltimore today, or again, Saturday, because this is a morning show, Baltimore had 6 more cases that got added to the COVID list. 6 more players were listed as having COVID for the Ravens.
No, God, please, no, no!
That's how they're feeling, because here's the unbelievable thing about all of this, right? They can't field a full roster right now. If you get every player on the practice squad, every player on the regular 55-man roster now? Do they bump it? Either way, whatever the regular roster number is, they only have 52 players. 52. That's it. They have 52 players available to them right now. That's today, you know, and who knows? The game's Tuesday. Let's see where it goes. Let's see who's actually available. And also, you now have a member of the Steelers where James Conner's tested positive. So you've got 18 Ravens. You've now got a Steeler. They're supposed to play on Tuesday. Who knows where that's going to go? They're pushing that game as far as they can. They might have to cancel that game. That's the last thing the NFL wants to do. But when you pile all of that up, the 18 cases in Baltimore, the case that just pops up in Pittsburgh, when you pair that with San Francisco not having a home stadium to play in, when you pair that up with Denver not having an actual, active, real quarterback ready to go for this game on Sunday against the Saints, all three of those things together, is it enough to pause the season or stop the season?
No! 855. God!
Yeah, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. And for me, they play. They play. That's where I fall on all of this. And it sounds crazy to just go through all of that and go, Vince, how can you list all of those things and possibly say that the NFL should play? Well, there's a couple of factors that go into this. One, as ugly as it is with Denver, and next segment I want to get into Denver a little bit more, that's one team. That's one team with a couple of players that had a bad break at the most important position. I feel bad for them, but, you know, they didn't wear masks. Like, I feel bad for Vic Fangio. Maybe he should have known better, though, right? Like, it's hard for me to look at this and go, you know, this is totally unfair to Denver. Is it totally unfair? Is it just unfortunate? Should they have handled it better? I mean, we've seen over the course of the season, think about the Raiders. Raiders, by the way, got fined, lost draft picks already, have been called out multiple times over the course of the season. They almost play games. And by the way, in the same division as the Denver Broncos, okay, the Raiders almost went to a game without 4 of their 5 offensive linemen. We've seen different position groups over the course of this season get infections, get set aside, and teams have had to deal with it. So for Denver, you lost all your quarterbacks, and that seems unheard of. It is unheard of, but that doesn't mean you stop playing. Denver's got to go through with this game. They got to go through with it. You play. Now, for the Steelers and the Ravens, if it gets to a point where right now, if the cases don't get worse, if they're actually able to play the game, if the numbers stay the same, I don't know how likely that is, but we're talking about in the moment now. I'm not going to speculate about how COVID cases are going to rise in a day or two, but in this moment, they're going to play the game. And so when you're looking at the big picture here, as much as this is a lot of news, this is shocking news, this is all at once, it's only 2 games. It's only a couple of teams, right? It's not that you're looking around this and it's every single team in the NFL is going through massive outbreaks. If we were in a situation where like 7-8 teams in the league had 18 cases and they can't even get 53 players together, then you look at it and you go, okay, maybe this is a situation where we have to calm things down. Maybe this is a spot where we have to pause it for a little bit. And again, that's what some people want to do. What does a pause look like? A pause could be waiting a week. One proposal you get next week, you know, week or this week, so week 12 or week 13, you move it to the back half of the season. You add the much speculated week 18. That could be a pause. You could pause it for 2 or 3 weeks if you want. However you think the NFL should handle this. And that's really the question. When all of these things pop up, it's shocking stuff together. But it's only a couple of games. The overwhelming majority of the teams are able to play. For Denver, it's really only a couple of players, and they should have handled it better. So, as ugly as it looks, everybody signed up for it. I don't know how much different it is than how this has been over the course of the regular season. I'd have them play. If I was Roger Goodell, I'm the commissioner of the NFL right now. I'm not pausing the season. I'm not stopping the season. I'm having these guys continue to play. So if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. And I'm Vince Quinn. James Graceffo's producing the show. Now, Graceffo, would you play? What would you do?
Oh, I would keep going. Of course I want to keep going. The NFL has the best product in this country. I mean, we can agree on that, right? As far as a television product goes.
Yeah, because Queen's Gambit was only 7 episodes,
sure,
so now that
sure.
I'm done with that, yes.
So, more than that, more than just, you know, we want to collect our billion-dollar checks from Fox and NBC and CBS and Amazon and whomever else airs our games, it's also the fact that the owners don't want to write checks back to these networks. Arthur Blank and, you know, Christopher Johnson and Shad Khan do not want to write $2 million checks to Fox, NBC, or CBS that they all have to put together in a pot and say, sorry, we couldn't air that Ravens-Steelers game, so here's your money back for all the ad revenue that you would have gotten. And the other thing that's most important, more important, well, I shouldn't say more important because who doesn't love billions of dollars, it's that the NFL doesn't want to have their schedule off kilter. The NFL wants to keep going, proceeding as normal, or as normal as things can possibly be, because they don't want to be in the situation where the NBA and the NHL are in, where they're basically haggling over money after their season is over because of time missed, and their rest of their league year is thrown off.
Yeah, they don't want to deal with that. They have been very adamant from the jump that they want to get this done, that they want to play. And by the way, here's the other thing, too, and this is part of the problem that Denver's going to have to deal with. This is why the league's not going to stop the game. They're not going to pause anything for the sake of Denver. There was a memo that came out before the start of the season which said, hey, if you guys have a situation where a position group has to get separated, has to get quarantined, we're going to play. That is how it's going to be. Apparently, they talked about this on a call. They sent out a memo to every single team. So they know. They know. This is what it's going to be. They're going to get through this season at all costs. And I don't want to be the guy that says, like, I don't understand what this is doing, like the impact of COVID on certain people. You're just looking at what this is right now for the NFL specifically. These are guys that are professional athletes that, as of now, with all the cases that have gone through the league, there's been no major incident that I'm aware of where any player has had a long time, you know, a serious concern where they got sick and then they had to back out for the season. It hasn't been anything really like that. So for them to go through these cases, having signed up to put themselves in a situation to get these cases, and as of now, I don't hear any players really saying they don't want to play. The only guys that I've heard of over the course of the season, it's one guy, it's Noah Fant right now because he has no quarterback on his team tomorrow. That's it. I mean, generally, these guys have all been willing to play. They've all agreed to, and most of the teams are healthy. So, in that case, for the NFL specifically, and what should they do with all of this, with all this mess around them, they should play. Just keep playing. It's not at a point yet. It might feel like it in the moment because it's a lot of news all at once. Denver, no quarterback. San Francisco, no home. Baltimore, up to 18 cases. One of them's Lamar Jackson. That's a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. But is it actually enough to stop the season? Is that what the NFL should do? Or should they just pause it for a week? Pause it for a couple of weeks? Should they stop? Should they have maybe never started? 855-212-4227. Me and Graceffo are on the same page here, and we'd play. We'd keep playing. Now, by the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So here's what we're going to do next is I want to get a little bit more into Denver, and I want to get into the pause theory. I just gave you a bit of a breakdown in terms of why I would play, but let's make the argument for pausing. Let's explore how much pausing could actually fix things here. That's what I want to talk about next. That's coming up right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's really all I want to do. Like, right now, unfortunately, you get presented with things that are too big to ignore. You know, I hate to, and over the last couple of weeks, I've tried to dodge all of the COVID conversation as much as I can. I really have.
I just want to party all the time, so my head's going to be in the sand. I'm not going to talk to you about this at all, if I would prefer it.
Well, yeah, exactly. See, that is our general mentality as a show, is we're just here to screw around and have fun talking about sports and be idiots together. It's fun. You know, we are a sports radio SpongeBob and Patrick, if you will. Now, whichever one you want to be is up to you, but
Squidward.
Yeah, you are Squidward. I'm definitely SpongeBob to your Squidward. I think that's the relationship here. But, like, the thing is, the Broncos don't have a quarterback. Like, we're talking about a professional team that doesn't have a quarterback. San Francisco lost the ability to play in their home stadium. And the Ravens have 18 cases now. They pushed the game to Tuesday, and they might not play that game. So you're getting pushed to the brink in a lot of ways. There's going to be a lot of pressure around the NFL when all of this news is coming together at the same time as cases around the country are going up. And you go, okay, well, you got to talk about it. And what do you think the NFL should do? I mean, should they keep playing? Should they not? Should they pause? And the pause theory is a fascinating thing because the structure of it, what would it look like if they paused? Basically, it would look like this. The NFL, probably not this week. There's just no time anymore. They're going to be playing all the games, and I mean, 12 hours from now, we're going to be through halftime of a number of games. They're not going to pause it tomorrow. They're just not. But could they pause it next week? Maybe. That's the proposal. What a pause would look like is you get all the games from next week, and you would move them to the back of the season. Now you could put them in week 17 and move week 17 to week 18 because you have all those division games at the end of the season, so you still want those at the end. Or you just get the games from this week or for next week and you push them to week 18. And you just have a bye week for the whole league next week. That's the theory for pausing the season, given all the stuff that just happened really in the past 24 hours with the NFL. So could that work? Because the NFL, by the way, already, they were having all the team facilities closed on Monday and Tuesday. So you go, okay, well, they're already closing Monday and Tuesday. Denver doesn't have quarterbacks. Baltimore is, everybody's sick, including Lamar Jackson. So that's another quarterback situation. And San Francisco, they're going to be playing at home next week, and they don't have a home. So do you delay next week so you can figure things out as you're already shutting that week down a little bit? Can you do that? And I mean, it sounds nice, right? It seems like on the surface it makes a lot of sense. But the problem is, I mean, one, these guys could still get sick if they're home. And taking the week off, once you do that, you open up the door for all of this public pressure to stay closed. Like, the NFL doesn't want to do that. They don't want to. They're not interested in doing that. I don't think they have any interest in stopping whatsoever. Because once you stop in any capacity, then with that deep breath, now everybody's analyzing everything. Well, you stop for 1 week, now they've got a couple of cases. I mean, what if cases pop up in the middle of the week? And so once you have that pause for a week and players start coming back, will they get sick again? Well, should you pause for another week? They don't want to, and they probably shouldn't. Yeah, just given the agreements that everybody's had, they're all adults that have made this decision. They've been going through the season. It's all things considered been okay. I figure they keep going. Like, I just I have a hard time believing ultimately that the pause fixes anything. I guess that's the root of it. I just have a hard time believing that if they pause, it will lead to everybody comes back. You know, like you play video games and you lay in a bed for like 5 seconds and suddenly your character wakes up and they're 100% health. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's not what this is going to be if they pause the NFL season. I would imagine if these guys go home, you're still going to have cases spreading in some degree or another. Guys are going to come back being sick. And you're just basically in the same situation, but now you've lost a week and you've created more questions. I just don't think it works. Now, maybe you think it does. And if you want to talk about it, we'll do it for, you know, really just the last of this segment in this capacity. I want to get into other things around this, but for now, if you want to get in and talk about it, 855-212-4227. For example, and this is the thing, we haven't even talked about Matt Patricia yet, because my goodness, how... Matt Patricia, there's so much to talk about with Matt Patricia, and I really can't wait to do it. So we're going to be doing that next, but... If you want to get in for now, 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can join the show on Twitter.
Fired!
I'm not fired yet. In fact, I got an extra shift this week.
Oh, Matt Patricia.
Oh, well, he was fired. Okay, I always just assume it's about me. Usually the drops are negative in my regard.
By the way, who's the clown now, Matt Patricia? Hope you kept your Roger Goodell clown shirt.
Seriously, that's like the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's a billion different things to talk about with Matt Patricia. It's going to be so much fun. So we're going to be doing that soon. But first, let's go to David in Georgia. David, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, buddy.
What's up?
Well, I was going to talk about COVID, but you're right. There's no use talking about it. What's going to be is what's going to be, you know? But Matt Patricia, I couldn't believe it. I just found out the Detroit Lions have not been in a playoff game since 1992. I mean,
well, they played a couple years ago. They played. They had that one game against Dallas a couple of years ago.
You know, I mean, that's.
But that's still only one game since 1992, if that's the number. So it's still a horrible number, all the same.
I mean, it's got to be more than the coach. It's got to be higher up than the coach why this team never can win. I mean, the Falcons have at least made the playoffs in the Super Bowl a few times, two Super Bowls, and made the playoffs. But, oh my God, Detroit is – me and my brother watching the game the other day. We're trying to figure out when the last time Detroit had a good team, and we couldn't figure it out. When was the last time Detroit had a good team?
A truly good team or like an okay team, you know, that doesn't lose
team,
it or the team that loses
team
in the first round?
A team that was expected to win. When was the last time Detroit had that?
The 50s? I mean, seriously, like, it's been a long time, David. It's been a long time, and I appreciate the call. That's the problem for people in Detroit, for fans of the Lions. And I was saying it last night because, one, I angered Detroit fans a lot last night, and we're on in Detroit. I was talking about the whole Thanksgiving thing, and I don't like watching them on Thanksgiving. That was a very popular opinion in Detroit. But I do feel for them, because to be a fan of a team that's that genuinely awful and that awful for that long, you know, Cleveland Browns fans, like, generally, I feel for people who are fans of awful teams. And how do you turn that around, and how do you fix all of that? I mean, we're going to be getting into that in a couple of minutes, because, again, I want to run through, we'll go through the ownership and the general manager and Patricia and all the silly, ridiculous, nonsensical things that go into all of that. We're going to do that soon. But one last thing I want to get out here is when you have the NFL in this situation right now where they're going into a game, like, it's going to be a terrible balance for them to get through this game specifically with Denver. Because going into the game, right now, I wouldn't tell the NFL to cancel this thing. I wouldn't. And they don't want to, and they probably won't. Because here's part of the situation. And we know this is a fact of life. When it comes to sports especially, a fact of life is the relevance of who is involved matters. Denver Broncos, Drew Locke, Brett Rippon, Blake Bortles, those guys not being in the game. As much as I feel for Kendall Hinton, who is a practice squad wide receiver that's got to play quarterback, it's not a big enough name, it's not a big enough shock to get people to really clamor for it. The public demand for Denver to not play without a quarterback is not going to be there. They're not going to have the pressure. Denver, for all the warts and injuries and whatever you want to attribute it to, They're just not relevant enough. I mean, if we were talking about this and it's the Chiefs or it's the Steelers or I don't know, like if it was different teams that right now were really prominent, maybe that would do it. Like the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens are going through it right now, and even that's not enough right now. Lamar Jackson is sick. They've got 18 cases. It's not enough. So for Denver, there's no way they're going to cancel this thing. Denver's going to have to play without a quarterback. And here's where it gets weird, though. This is where it gets complicated, because right now, if you're the NFL, you say, hey, we had rules, we sent out a memo, everybody knew about this, Denver's quarterbacks didn't wear masks, it's on them. They had every opportunity to handle this right, we made sure everybody knew, we're now 12 weeks into the season, they should have an understanding of all these protocols. If they've been dodging the protocols like this for 12 weeks at that position and had no backup plan, that's on them. That's how the NFL can look at this, that's probably how they look at this. And that's why the game's going to get played. But it does get to a weird situation. If they play this game, there is no quarterback, and it goes from a complete oddity to a well-established, like, unforgettable embarrassment. I mean, this could become a game that makes the sport an actual joke, that makes the season an actual joke. You're putting a practice squad wide receiver at quarterback with no practice time, no experience whatsoever in the NFL. He was not a good quarterback in college. He was at Wake Forest throwing 55%. You've got this kid playing against the Saints. I mean, how ugly could this get? Even with Taysom Hill at quarterback instead of Drew Brees. I mean, like, legitimately, this game could be, what, a 70 to nothing kind of blowout?
You know what the NFL's going to tell them? Sorry. Guess what you should have done? You should have locked Blake Bortles in his apartment and not had him at the facility at all, and he'd be playing tomorrow.
Yep.
Other teams have decided to do that. They decided not to. They're going to reap the consequences.
Yeah, and you would figure, by the way, now other teams around the league, naturally when you see this, you now have to lock a guy away, right? Like, they're going to Rapunzel quarterbacks all across the league. I don't think that's exactly the term, but you get what I'm saying. All these guys are going to just be put in a shelf somewhere. They're going to say, all right, you stay away. You come in once in a while when the other quarterbacks aren't in. You're going to throw after practice with some guys to get reps in, whatever it's going to be. Things are going to have to change because of this. It's going to have some impact on the league. But if the game gets so ugly, if it gets so out of control, if there's 8 interceptions or, you know what I mean? Now, if I was Denver, I would run the ball basically every single down of the game. If you can't score a touchdown, run the ball 18 times, then so be it. You're just not going to score on that drive. You're going to punt all day. But if they decide to pass, if it gets ugly like that, this kid is getting strip sacked and whatnot, pick sixes. If it gets that kind of ugly, it's going to make things worse. But if this is just a forgettable, you know, the Saints, they get up 35-6 and it's an embarrassment, but it's not that much of an embarrassment, it becomes a forgettable game. If it becomes a landmark black eye on the league and the credibility of the league in the season, then you've got big issues. That could lead to conversations of a pause. That could lead to a stop. But just not having quarterbacks, I don't think it's going to change anything. So 855-212-4227, that's how you join the show. We're done with that for now. Let's talk about Matt Patricia next. Can we have fun next? We're going to have fun next. We're going to talk about Matt Patricia and how much of a clown show that is. I can't wait. That's coming up in a couple of minutes. Keep it right here. I'm Vince Quinn with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Sports Radio! Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's restart things, shall we? Because, man, there is so much great, crazy, fun stuff to get into that's been happening in the world of sports. Matt Patricia got fired. Matt Patricia got fired. Bob Quinn, which I feel for him as a Quinn, I feel for Bob. I'm probably related to Bob in some capacity. I don't know if you know this about me, Graceffo. One, my dad is one of 14. He's one of 14
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. He's one of 14.
I want to be one of one.
Yeah. Are you one of one?
No. Like, my plan is to be one of one for, like, the rest of my life.
Oh, okay. Wait, how many siblings do you have?
One.
You have brothers, sister?
Sister.
Older, younger?
Older.
Okay. How much older?
10 years.
10 years? Okay. That's a gap. Well, I'll ask you about that later. Anyway, that was weird. Let's go to...
Just a little.
Yeah, just a little. I've never done anything weird or awkward in my life. For me, yeah, I've got like 39 cousins. I'm probably related to Bob Quinn. Anyway, before I get into Matt Patricia here, there's a great argument. So Florida was playing Kentucky today, right? Now, Dan Mullen, head coach of Florida, during the game, gets into a shouting match with his defensive coordinator, Todd Grantham. Now, after the game, Dan Mullen is asked, hey, Dan, what happened? What was going on in that argument? Listen to this.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I got home for Thanksgiving dinner, and we're neighbors, and he had his Christmas lights up in the front yard. You know, I said, we don't put Christmas lights up until after Thanksgiving. And he adamantly said, yes, we do. I put my Christmas lights up on Thanksgiving. I said, no, you don't. And so, you know, we agreed to disagree.
I'm not a big Christmas music guy. That's really not my scene. But if you're putting your lights up on Thanksgiving, that's fair game. Thanksgiving is absolutely fair game. No? Graceffo's shaking his head no. He's not a fan of this idea. I think you can do it. I don't think that's... Yeah, if it's like Halloween and you've got the Christmas lights up, okay, you've gone too far. Thanksgiving? Yeah, you can put them up.
Let the day breathe, man. Like, you just ate 15 pounds of food, and now you're really going to get a ladder and get on your roof and, like, put up your Christmas lights?
Yeah.
You're going to bring out the giant inflatable Santa Claus that's been in your garage for 300-something days? Like, come on, man. Like, take a day. Just take, like...
Well, that's
take
my philosophy.
Take a week.
I would take a day, but I wouldn't... I won't fault people for doing it at that point. I've accepted that Thanksgiving
is the start of Christmas. But, again, like, you're talking, like, the laziest person. I don't put up decorations at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, like, I mean, I don't have a family. So, I mean, if I had, like, you know, a little snot-nosed kid yelling at me,
yeah,
saying, oh, where's my tree? Where's this? Where's that? I'd want to run into traffic and like put up the, like, thank God I don't have to, like, a home where I got to get on a ladder with a roof and lights and all this crap.
Yeah. Yeah. My embarrassing thing is when it comes to decorations and all that. When I moved in with my girlfriend about a little over a year ago, and you know, we have all these different pictures, paintings, whatever, all these things to put up. They're still sitting on the floor in my living room. I've not hung up a single thing.
Same thing. I got framed pictures on the floor.
Yep.
Yeah, same thing.
It's just a big stack.
I'm just not... I can't do it, so I don't know who's going to do it.
See,
ain't going to be me.
Yeah, I could do it, but my problem is she wants, like, a nice arrangement where, like, the size is well-arranged and this flows into that, and I am not capable of that. Now, if I really tried, maybe I could do a terrible version of that, but it's definitely prevented me from doing it for literally over a year now. It's not getting done. So I'm not putting up Christmas lights on Thanksgiving. That's not me. That's not where I'm going. But if people want to do that at this point, I accept that. That's just how it is now. Thanksgiving is the beginning of Christmas. Like, as soon as Thanksgiving dinner ends, people put on the music.
Yeah, and people are, like, stomping on people to get a TV. Yeah, great.
Well, that too. I would figure less so this year.
We're really in the holiday spirit when that happens, and someone is thrown through a glass door to get, you know, a DVD player.
That's why Jingle All the Way is a great movie, by the way.
Yeah.
That
yeah. Capitalism at its finest.
That's what it is. It works.
Poor Sinbad was, like, running around. The kid doesn't even care. Like, you don't even find out who Sinbad's kid is in the movie. Like, the kid is a non-starter. We don't see the kid. We just know Sinbad's out there looking for the toy like Arnold.
And that's all that matters. I mean, as a parent, you're probably like, yeah, man, I've been there. I've had to strangle
And if you were Arnold, wouldn't you steal from Phil Hartman? Like, you got it at that point. You have no other repercussion. You got to steal from him.
Yeah, it's about the kids.
Like, yeah, you got to do it. So, like, Arnold felt bad that he was in Phil Hartman's house, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm stealing from a child. You got to live with yourself at this point. This is what has brought you to this situation.
Yeah, you've gone too far at this point. You might as well just finish the job and get the toy and have a Merry Christmas. So there you go.
Meanwhile, Jamie's upset he didn't come to his karate tournament. I mean, you know, get a life. Kids are going to be upset. It's the way it is.
It's the way it is. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So I'm Vince Quinn with you on CBS Sports Radio. And let's talk about Matt Patricia, okay? Because the Detroit Lions finally, mercifully, and I don't know why it took this long, because remember, early in the season, early in the NFL season, we had firings take place. There was a time, there was a trend, there was a flow. Bill O'Brien gets fired. You have Dan Quinn. It's a rough year for Quinns in the NFL. Dan Quinn gets fired from the Falcons. And you go, okay, maybe this is it for Adam Gase. You know, he doesn't have any wins. Maybe this will be the week. Maybe this will be the time for Matt Patricia.
Adam Gase is the cockroach in a nuclear accident.
It's the truth. That guy will never get fired. He's going to be, it's funny that we're going to do this 2 days in a row. He's going to be Milton from Office Space. He's going to be in the dungeon of the Jets Stadium. It's going to be 8 years later. They're like, Adam, you're still here? The eyes are bugging out of his head. He's like, yes, I've been here the whole time. I'm scheming things up. Okay. Good luck there, Adam.
I'm missing another holiday with my family to plan for a game that I'm going to lose.
How could Joe Flacco get us over the top? I don't know. Frank Gore at 85 years old. How could he win one for us? Adam Gase will always be there. But Matt Patricia is gone. And let's go to Sheila Ford Hemp on explaining why Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn are gone.
10 days ago, we looked like we had a good chance to be playoff bound. And, you know, both of those games were extremely disappointing. And it just seemed like the path going forward wasn't what we wanted it to be. So, yes, we thought this was a good time to make the change.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, being in the playoff hunt, a bit optimistic, I would say. At that point, Detroit, 4-5. So this is the problem. When the team is bad for so long and the expectations are so low, you're 4-5 as an owner and going, you know, maybe this is the year. Maybe we're going to break back in.
You know, we got that seventh playoff spot just hanging there. You think she knew that there was a seventh playoff spot?
Probably
you think she,
not.
No, she's got no clue, right?
No.
There's no way. There's no way she or any like high-ranking president that works for Ford in the Lions front office knows that there was a seventh playoff spot, right?
And that's the thing. You figure, and this is ultimately the problem with the Lions, is the ownership is bad and probably doesn't pay enough attention to the sport. Like, it's just, there have been terrible owners for forever. So this is what you get with the Detroit Lions. They get shut out by the Panthers, who, like, Panthers are fine. You know, they're kind of fun. They're frisky, scrappy, I would say. They're not
by the
great.
Way. You want to guess how many other times Matt Stafford had been shut out as the starter of the Lions?
Oh, God. How many?
None. Matt Patricia was really bringing the team forward.
There you go. He's changing it. He's revolutionizing the sport, Matt Patricia. Yeah, 0 points against the Carolina Panthers. They lose 20-0. Then they played the Texans on Thanksgiving, an absolute slop fest. They lose 41-25. They go to 4-7 on the season, and Matt Patricia is now fired as the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Now, obviously, Patricia was bad, okay? I mean, the guy, he didn't really have anything that you could point to say that, oh, well, they shouldn't have fired Matt Patricia because of this. You know what I mean? Sometimes coaches get fired, and it's mildly controversial. You go, well, I mean, he's had a good couple of years in the past, and he had this problem with injuries, or the quarterback wasn't quite there. That's the GM. That's not really him. Maybe this coach should have stuck around for a year. Matt Patricia, not going anywhere. That team, 9-7 when he takes over. They become 6-10. They go 3-12. 3-12-1, excuse me. You can't forget the tie. And then 4-7 this year. He didn't do anything. He came in. He's the Belichick assistant. You think, and I don't know why I do this to myself, but I still look at Belichick assistants and I go, well, he's a Belichick assistant.
Yeah, maybe. You should stop doing that, bud.
Yes, I should have stopped doing that 5 guys ago. But here I am, and now I'm like, well, maybe Brian Flores.
You want to hear another funny stat?
Yeah.
You want to know how many games Belichick assistants are under 500?
Oh, God, how many?
70-ish. Yeah, but they're the guys that are leading football into the future, all of them.
70!
Hey, people making NFL decisions, maybe you just chalk it up to Bill and Tom were great, and that's about it.
Yeah, that maybe those are two of the greatest to ever do it at the two most important spots in the sport, and together, in a terrible division, they just dominated everybody. And that's how it was for two decades. That's what they did. Because, yeah, for all these guys that come and go, like I just mentioned Brian Flores. The Dolphins for right now, good. He's doing a really good job. Does that stick? Is he doing crazy things behind the scenes? I don't know. I don't know. For now, it's early, and he's been a massive exception to the rule of Belichick assistants. But they've all mostly been bad, well, and so who knows?
Again, me and you were talking about this before the show. The bar for Brian Flores has been extremely low. Right? Can we agree?
Yes.
Yeah. He came in with the worst roster in football, made it worse. The plan was to lose. They won five games, and then they got the guy they wanted all along. But guess what? The guy that was drafted after the guy they wanted all along is a better player so far.
Yeah.
So really, what are they doing so well?
Well, the defense is good. I don't know.
With all former Patriots that he brought in. When is he going to, like, what's going to happen when he has to bring in his own players?
I would say this, when it comes to Flores, I don't want to get too much on a Flores, Flores kick, but Byron Jones, they go out and they sign him, big free agent signing, that worked out.
Yeah, the best corner on the market.
Well, yeah, but they nailed it. I've seen bad corner or big time corners get paid a lot of money and flame out. So that's worked. The defense has been pretty good. You know, maybe they become something, maybe. But as of now, he's really the best Belichick guy. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's been on the Dolphins for a year and a half. And he's the success story. You know, like, that's crazy. That's crazy. So Matt Patricia, as the Belichick guy, he comes into Detroit, supposed to be this defensive mastermind, the nuclear engineering or something like that?
Rocket scientist.
Rocket scientist.
He's a rocket scientist football coach.
There you go. And now
he always needed a pencil in his ear.
Yeah. And that was the thing. It's like, wow.
And he didn't have enough time to shave or cut his hair, ever.
Which reminds me, by the way, let's go back down memory lane, shall we? Let's go back, and if this wasn't a warning sign, I don't know what is. Looking back, this was such, and I felt weird about it in the moment. It seemed totally ridiculous in the moment, but this was the clearest, strongest indicator of what Matt Patricia was going to be and what he ended up being. This is the legacy of Matt Patricia right here. We go to his first season. It's the end of October. The Lions, very unremarkable at this point in his tenure. And you know what? I'll give you the record as well. Let's see how Matt Patricia was doing in his first year at the point that he had this fine little outburst. He was, I think, 3-4, okay? So 3-4, rookie head coach, Matt Patricia at the podium, and this happens.
Why do you think this makes your franchise better?
Well, you know, do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just let me have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions and you just kind of like, you know, give me this. But I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay? So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for you.
The visual is, this guy looks like he hasn't slept in a year. His beard is unkempt. He's wearing a dopey hat because his hair is all over the place. And he's telling the guy, you want to sit up. This guy is losing so much and game planning so much that he doesn't have time to clean himself up himself.
Yeah.
And he's yelling at this poor guy making no money to cover this terrible football team to, oh, can you have a little better posture while I slouch over this podium, unkempt and unwashed? Like, get a life, you clown. Hope you never work again.
Well, that's the thing, too, by the way. He might not ever work again. I don't think he ever gets a head coaching job again. It was that bad.
Go crawl back to Bill.
Seriously, if Bill takes him. Maybe, probably. And Belichick has a history of doing that. He will oftentimes take those guys back if they need a gig, or as long as they're not Eric Mangini, right? Because that had the Spygate stuff, and that got pretty
ugly.
You're
a clown.
But otherwise, you look at Matt Patricia, and we'll talk about this more in a couple of minutes, but Matt Patricia, the way he went out, was the biggest fireball I've ever seen in my life with a head coach. And we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes again. But first, let's take a call, actually. Let's go to Curtis, who's in Cleveland. Curtis, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, how you doing? I was joking with the screen. I say, just because these guys work for Belichick as coordinator, people think they're going to be good coaches. But I don't know what made them think he was going to be good for them anyway. And it's sure there's a sucker born every day, and he'll get another job in the NFL, like all Belichick assistants do.
I think he'll be another assistant, but I'm telling you, I don't think he gets another head coaching job. I think this is the end of the line.
It should be. I mean, I don't know what made him hire him.
It should be.
Hey, Vince.
Yeah.
It's a sucker out there. They're one every day. You watch me mark my words now. One of these, I guarantee you, one of them go hire again. Watch my thing.
I mean, we'll see, Curtis, and I appreciate the call, man, but I don't see it. I don't see it. I'm pretty confident that Matt Patricia will never be a head coach in the NFL again. He's done. And you know what? Let's just take a break, and we'll get to exactly why. Because if you didn't see what happened after Matt Patricia got fired, there was a lot, okay? There was a lot, and we're going to pick through just a fraction of it because there was so much out there. We're going to do that on the other side. It's ugly. And I'm Vince Quinn with you on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to hop in and talk about Matt Patricia, 855-212-4227. That's how you get in. You can also join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. Give me a follow there at It's Vince Quinn. Chaos and coaching next.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So, Graceffa, as Chumbawamba's playing, Graceffa goes in my ear. This is for every Lions fan out there. I get knocked down, I get back up again. My goodness, it's brutal. I mean, they had to root for Matt Patricia for 3 years. I don't know how.
Imagine if you listen to that guy talk every week, and he gives you the same garbage coach speak. Oh, we're trying to get better every week, you know. Meanwhile, I'm treating everybody here like goons, because I think I'm smarter than everyone. Look at me.
Yeah, and you've got to hear all
like
that
stuff.
Like,
you'd want to jump off a building.
Yeah.
You'd want to drive your Ford into, like, oncoming traffic.
And at the same time, you're trying to rationalize it and be like, well, he's just trying to build the team, and he's a Belichick assistant, and he's trying to build a defense, and like, we'll figure it out. You know, so you're like, you're trying to convince yourself that this madman is exactly who you need to get behind, that he is the answer. And it's such a terrible feeling to get there, and I don't know how long Detroit fans realized this wasn't going to work. I don't know how long people, like, the masses, because there's always people from the jump that are,
Vince,
like, I hate this guy.
You know when they realized it shouldn't have worked?
When?
When they got blown up by the Jets week one, his first game. When they lost by 20 on Monday night. The first game that he coached. They should have realized, man, the Jets came into our building and beat us by 20 and, like, put up 40 points on us.
That's a confidence builder if I've ever seen one. So here's the thing with Matt Patricia, by the way. Here's what makes it so remarkable in some ways. Matt Patricia, he gets fired, and rightfully so. And once he gets canned and the news is out on social media, Matt Patricia starts getting ripped all over the place. He starts getting crushed on social media. Guys tweeting all sorts of things. I want to find it because I have so many different screenshots on my phone. I should have. Oh, come on. Where is this? I'm trying to. What was it? A'shaun Robinson was one of the guys who was in Detroit, and Patricia basically said to him, I'll end your career. Now, A'shaun Robinson went over to the Rams, and he sends out a tweet where he's like, yeah, well, Matt Patricia said he's going to end my career, and I think the NFL had other plans, you know?
Like, by the way, A'shaun Robinson went to Alabama. Like, you're not a scrub, you go to Alabama, right?
Yeah.
And he was there before Matt Patricia, so he had a little more cred in the building. But he's like, I'm going to end your career because I'm Matt Patricia and I'm smarter than you and I know what defense is, even though I clearly haven't proven anything on any level as a head coach.
No, he certainly hasn't, and it didn't get any better. Let's see. Defense his first year, ranked 16th in points. Then they're ranked 26th in points. This year, where are they at this year? They're ranked 30th in points. So they've gone downhill in points allowed in their league rankings every single year with Patricia. By the way, part of that reason is Darius Slay, one of the best cornerbacks in football, hated Matt Patricia's guts and wanted out of town, and now he's a Philadelphia Eagle. He tweeted, by the way, once Patricia got fired, he tweeted out the eye emoji. Like, it's ridiculous.
And you know what his crime, Darius Slay's crime was?
What?
He put up a picture of himself on Instagram covering Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, the horror.
That was the crime. Matt Patricia was like, I got to get this guy out of here. He clearly doesn't care about the other 52 guys in here because he's putting up pictures of himself on the field on social media.
Yeah, which, by the way, let's get to this, right? Because, Graceffo, you sent me a tweet earlier from a Lions reporter. And the report is basically, one, the Darius Slay incident where Matt Patricia yells at Darius Slay for posting that picture of him guarding Odell Beckham Jr. That definitely happened and everybody knows about it. So Patricia made a big deal about that. That's embarrassing. Then the other part of this equation is there was a point where Matt Patricia apparently on the practice field at a star player called him a very bad word that begins with the letter after B. And when you have that kind of thing happen in front of everybody and you're not well-respected, well, it's not going to make your life easier.
And you're a loser.
And that's how everybody feels. And this is the problem, because if you're a head coach and people like you and you try and it just doesn't work out, you might get another shot. Players will vouch for you. If you become a coordinator, somebody else, maybe they'll come and play with you because they like you and they just feel like you didn't get a fair shake. Maybe you're a good defensive coach, but the offense was terrible and you couldn't figure it out. Okay, you're a defensive coordinator now. Maybe you get a shot again in a couple of years. You find a good guy on the offensive side of the ball. But for Patricia, this is the problem. So many people came out of the woodwork to bash him. Players don't respect him. I've never seen it like this before. Here's just another example of how bad it was with Matt Patricia. When he got fired, the NFL, their account on Instagram, they put out a post, and it's, you know, a well-developed, well-produced graphic. It's Matt Patricia, the Lions logo, and it's like, well, Lions coach Matt Patricia has been let go. You know who liked that post? Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay liked the post of Matt Patricia getting fired on Instagram. It's another thing to add to the pile. Just story after story after story. This is only, you know, 12 hours into Matt Patricia getting fired. It hasn't been all that long. There's a lot of stuff that's out there already. How much worse does it get? How much more comes out in the following days as full pieces get written, as players are interviewed, as coaches are interviewed, and either anonymously or people that previously worked with Patricia and have no skin in the game in Detroit, how many of those people come out and say things about this guy? I gotta tell you, he probably gets a job on a staff somewhere, pro, college, somewhere. I don't think Matt Patricia's out of the NFL, but there's no way that guy's a head coach again. When players don't respect you like that, on that public of a level, I don't see how it happens. And word spreads in the league. It's not, if players don't respect you, they're not going to sign with you. He's done.
You know where he should coach again?
Where?
As a head coach? College. Because that's where you can get to treat people like garbage. Because they don't get paid.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe he's a coach.
That's where you get to treat people like garbage. While you're coming into their parents' homes and trying to convince them to have your son play for them. For you. You have to, like, basically sell these parents why they should trust you. Meanwhile, he's probably going to learn nothing from this. Because he's obviously so much smarter than everyone else. And he's going to continue to treat people like garbage. And he'll get away with it because the players don't get paid. And they don't have any rights.
Yeah, if he's in college, that's how it would go. There's no way in the NFL he's getting a head coaching gig again. It's just not going to work. He's not a fit. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Casey, who's in Dallas. Casey, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Vince, I didn't know that Patricia was like that, man. I really didn't know that. Now, I know y'all speaking on assistants, like seriously, Belichick assistants. But I just thought about Vrabel. I know he wasn't an assistant. He was a player. he's doing pretty good over at Tennessee. That's all.
Oh, yeah, no, and that's the thing is, for him to be a player for as long as he was and be in the Patriots system and all that, yeah, you can attribute him to Belichick. Clearly there's an influence there.
Yeah,
but
he's in the tree. He's in the route tree somewhere, huh?
He's somewhere in there. He's his own unique branch, I would say. He's his own unique branch of it. But these other guys, I mean, people that were on the staff and get credit for all of the X's and O's rather than executing a specific role, these are the guys that are supposed to be these geniuses that bring the Patriot way to whatever franchise and turn everything around and build these brilliantly flexible offenses and defenses, and nobody does it. So it's crazy. I mean, like, maybe Joe Judge works out. He just got in a massive argument with his offensive line coach and had him fired 10 weeks into the season, 11 weeks into the season. So I don't know. Like, that team's playing well, but is Joe Judge going to last? Is that going to be a success story? I have no idea. Brian Flores, I think, is going to make it.
Judge is over there in New York, right?
What's that?
Judge is over there in New York, right?
Yeah, he's the Giants head coach.
What are they doing? What's the Giants record? But he's first year, though, right?
Well, yeah, he's a first-year guy, and it's weird because he's a special teams coach. So I don't know. That's what he was historically. So I don't know how this is all going to work. As of now, it's been like, well, the team's playing tough, and they have played some good games, but you see all these other Belichick assistants, and you see this blow-up that he had a week ago, and you go, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't work out. I have no idea.
Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, hey, Casey, appreciate it, man. So if you want to get in, 855-212-4227, that's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's sponsored by GEICO. Did you know you can, do you rent your home? Sure you do. GEICO makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at GEICO.com. Easy. Now, here's what we're going to do next. So, rest assured, we will continue the Matt Patricia conversation, okay? Of course we will. Absolutely. How could we not, right? I live for this stuff, okay? We're going to talk about Matt Patricia. We will talk about the Lions. We'll talk about fired coaches, all that good stuff. But also, I love sports technology, right? There's just so many things. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, right? All these teams are worth in the billions, and there's so many different apps and programs and things that are always developed around these teams, more and more stuff every single day. And so we're going to dig into sports tech a little bit for a couple of minutes. A good buddy of mine, well-connected within the sports tech industry, CEO of his own sports tech company. He's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on in the world of sports tech. That's coming up next.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Not quite novelty boxing, but just as close. It's The Vince Quinn Show, yes, on CBS Sports Radio. And, you know, it's funny, last segment talking a little bit about Sarah Fuller. And you really, like, it really is shocking that Vanderbilt put up 0 points. Zero. Because here's the thing. Here's the funny thing about it is when you get a story like that, that a girl, a woman is going to be in college football, Power Five conference, the barriers being broken in a meaningful way. Like, there's been other women that have kicked in college football, but not on this level, not quite this degree. And you go, okay, this is going to be it. I mean, this is going to be huge. There's going to be so much to say. And what does she do? Her first kick is at halftime, right? Because Vanderbilt, I guess they got the ball at the first half. They never scored. So no extra points.
Big fat failure.
Yep. No extra points. No field goals. Zilch. Punts galore. So second half starts. And now the story begins. Here's the opportunity. Here is Sarah Fuller. She's coming in. She kicks a squib. Okay, that's one of the funny things. It's a squib. Her kick is a squib. She comes in, she kicks a squib. That's it. That is the only appearance you get from Sarah Fuller in the entire game. Now, it is not Sarah Fuller's fault. This is by 0% a criticism of Sarah Fuller. None. Congratulations to her. To be in that game, really impressive. Yes. You know, we have a soundbite in the system. Can you grab that, Graceffo? Because she did speak after the game, and for her to be in that situation, like, that's somebody you want to hear from, right? That's, you want to know what it's like for her to be in that moment, to be in that situation, to set history, and here she is after the game.
I just think it's incredible that I am able to do this, and all I want to do is be a good influence to the young girls out there, because there were times like I struggled in sports, but I am so thankful I stuck with it, and it's given me so many opportunities.
And she goes and kicks for Vanderbilt once for a squib. Because here's the thing. This is what's funny about it. The take artists wanted to be out in full effect. Oh, my God. It's one, she makes a field goal. She hits like a 35-yarder. She makes an extra point. And you go, well, she's clearly paved the way. And, like, the whole world is going to evolve now. And this is the beginning of the revolution. And then if she misses the kick, you go, well, this was the worst idea ever. I kicked in high school. And let me tell you, she should have done. Like, you know what I mean? There's so many people who were chomping at the bit to make the grandest statements possible about Sarah Fuller. She comes in, she quick kicks a squib, nothing happens after that, and who knows if she ever plays again. Like, it's just, it's kind of fun. I feel for her because I wish she got the chance to actually kick it. I just, for her benefit, it would have been fun to see her kick a field goal or an extra point. But, like, she got the game. It's still a big accomplishment. You know,
I was wondering why squib was trending on Twitter.
There you go.
There you go.
That was it.
There you go. Now imagine the takes of, she misses a field goal. Okay, that could happen. Imagine the takes if she got blown up on a kickoff by somebody.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine being like the college football player on the opposing team that, you know, has to, like, you get a big return on the kick, and, you know, it's your job that you gotta, like, you know, like, you gotta impede her in some way. You know, we're not saying run her over, but, I mean, you know, what do you do?
Your goal is to block, though. But here's the thing, right? And that's something I heard before. Like, Carly Lloyd, a while ago, I think it was last season, she talked about the idea of being a kicker, right? And people go, well, what happens on special teams if people are blocking or not? Well, haven't you seen most kickers? Most kickers are tiny people that get crushed
out there. But, I mean, you do see a kicker once in a while get blown up. It does happen.
Well, yeah, but if she's out there and she gets blown up, so be it. That's the job. Like, it's either she takes the hit.
Well, I'm not saying it's not the job. Like, the player in that position has to do what's best for the other 80 guys on the team.
Yeah, you block her.
I'm just talking about the, you know, the people in our business.
Yeah,
what the reaction would have been
if she had gotten blown up today? That would have been the only thing people talked about. Luckily, that didn't happen. But unfortunately, she didn't kick. It's a shame. It's a shame she didn't kick. I'll say this: even if she had missed it, you know, or if she made it, she could have gone out and made 5 field goals. She could have gone out and missed 5 field goals. Either way, with Sarah Fuller, the whole goal is not. It's not just about her. It's not just about her. It's the idea that you can get a woman on a football field and kick a football, and she could be good at doing it. No reason she can't. There's none. If you got 100 different women out there and gave them chances to kick and actually work at it and understand, okay, this is the right angle, this is how many steps back you are, building that muscle memory, having the rhythm with a long snapper and a holder, if they had the chance to do all that stuff, could a woman be a decent kicker at any level? Yes, like that's really what the conversation is, and you have to have moments like this to get to that point. So it is a worthwhile moment all the same, but it is funny for the people who are like, man, oh, I just didn't want this to work out. I wanted to rip her for missing a kick. Like, those people didn't get the opportunity, and that makes me smile a little bit. Good for her. Good for Sarah Fuller. Terrible for Vanderbilt's offense, by the way. Come on. You couldn't get her at least one opportunity, guys. You couldn't pull out some trick play from your hat and land it to get to the 40. Like, even if she had kicked a 50-yarder, give her a shot. Give her a shot at something. That's just whatever. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Now, 855-212-4227 is how you join the show. We've started with Sarah Fuller, but we've also been talking a lot about Matt Patricia, and we'll get to Taysom Hill in a minute. But let's have some Matt Patricia talk. We go to Drew, who's in Michigan. Drew, welcome to the show.
Sorry, guys. Thank you. So I got a couple beefs. One going back to last night, if you wouldn't mind. It's the whole Detroit mindset. And what I mean by that is there was a caller last night talking about the Thanksgiving game and that's Detroit and that we – you know, that's we go out and support the team. That's our job to do it. And that's part of the reason why the Lions have sucked all these years. It's because we go out and continue to give the Fords their money. We pack the stadium. So it's like on the ground level, why would they change anything? If they're still making money hand over the fist, why would you change?
Yeah.
You know, and like the screener a little bit, I think we miscommunicated a little bit, but it's like I tend to tune into the games from time to time, but until there's a resurgence by fans to not show up, to not pack the house, why would the Fords change? And what Sheila came out and said today about a new direction, that's not what we've heard that before. I mean, I'm 33 years old. We're going on my 12th coach that I can actually recall.
Oh my God.
And you know what? It's such a Lions move to fire Caldwell, going back-to-back 9-7, 1 year removed from the playoffs. Bob Quinn, you know what? We can do better. Nobody in Detroit was happy or excited about Patricia coming here. And actually, the local affiliate in Detroit, the Lions actually pulled the game from the station because that's all they do is rip on the organization. Like, everybody around here is fed up. So I just get kind of
good
upset when I hear people call in and are like, oh, yeah, Lions, yeah. Another coach, let's get excited. Restart the hamster wheel, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Like, if you don't have competent ownership or somebody that genuinely cares about the team enough and wants to see them win, and it's just, hey, we're making the profit and so whatever, then, yeah, you're not going to actually go anywhere. Your odds of actually going somewhere are incredibly low. And that's how it's been for the Lions for forever now.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
The whole pencil thing, nobody ever talks about it. The only two things Patricia ever has in his hands is a Microsoft Surface, which is touchscreen, or a laminated play sheet. What the hell is the point of the pencil?
It's just a decoration, you said.
The guy's a scrub. I mean, Lions fans showing up are scrubs. And, you know, people use the excuse, well, we don't know what it's like to win. We have the Detroit Red Wings, one of the greatest franchises in sports. We have Detroit Pistons, who aren't that far removed from championship and playoffs. We have the Tigers, who are rich in tradition. We haven't won anything lately, but it's not an excuse. It's just we love football, and we're going to continue to show up just because, I mean, we're a football era, you know. We have Michigan. We have Michigan State, which, God, don't get me started.
Yeah, let's not get into that avenue right now. It's been pretty ugly. But, yeah, Drew, I hear you, man. I hear you when it comes to this and the team and where they're at, and I appreciate the call. Like, he's right. I mean, the team's been terrible for a long time. There's no reason to believe. Like, that's one of the complicated things you get into. For example, me being a Philly guy and doing shows in Philly, a lot of times I talk with people about Doug Peterson. Because if you're not paying attention to the Eagles right now, they're god-awful. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They're a massive disappointment. They're competitive in the NFC East, which is a statement of saying they're not good, right? So Doug Peterson, a couple of years removed from a Super Bowl, he might get fired. Now, people like to assume that if he were to get fired, that suddenly everything's better, right? It's you're going to get better. Well, you see it with Matt Patricia. He gets fired, or he gets the job after Jim Caldwell gets fired, and the team goes backwards. He comes in and says, hey, we got a lot of work to do. Yeah, you got a lot of work to do because you made the team worse every single year. That's why you have a lot of work to do. You know, so even if you fire somebody that's bad at the job, it doesn't mean you hire somebody that's going to be good. You're just hiring somebody else, right? So that's where the Lions are now. They're in the process of hiring somebody else. Do they get it right? Well, hopefully they at least look for a GM first. You do the right steps, do the basic things right, get the GM, get the head coach, and go from there. Now, if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show.
Vince, you know who the Lions should hire?
Who?
Jim Caldwell.
As a we're sorry?
Yeah, as a we're sorry, let's make it up. Let's just pretend the last 3 years didn't happen. Come home, Jim.
It'd be a mistake, though, right?
No, it wouldn't. You know, he'll be listen, for all the crap that he gets that, you know, he was just running Peyton Manning's team in Indianapolis, the guy went to a Super Bowl, right? The guy went to a Super Bowl. He was respectable, which is far more than Matt Patricia ever was.
That's true.
And above all, the guy's going to treat people with respect, and he's going to be professional. So you know what? Correct your mistake. Hire Jim Caldwell. See where you go.
See, the thing is, I can get that sentiment. It's a nice story, but there's so many good, exciting names out there. Like, if Joe Brady is available, I'm going for Joe Brady.
I guarantee you, Jim Caldwell is going to be very exciting to Lions fans if they see him at a press conference sometime.
Is he?
Yeah, because they all call us and they say, man, why'd they fire Jim Caldwell?
Okay, but yeah, why'd they fire him is one thing, but hiring him now when you can get, say, Eric Bieniemy?
Nah, I want experience. I want professionalism. Jim Caldwell.
Well, speaking of both of those things, let's go to Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is a fascinating experience here because he's been in the league for a long time. He's a team player, by all accounts, very professional. You look at Taysom Hill and you see a quarterback that's playing tight end. He's on special teams. He plays running back. Now he's the back. Well, he's the backup that's starting at quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. And he plays that first week last week, and a lot of people had stake in that game. Whether you bet on it or not, whether you're a Saints fan, a Falcons fan, there was a lot of pride on the line. Same way where people were itching to give takes on Sarah Fuller, it's the same thing with Taysom Hill. They wanted to see Taysom Hill, the quarterback, and a lot of people wanted to rip that guy to shreds. Now, he had some throws in that game that were god-awful, okay? Like, you look at the numbers and you go, well, Taysom Hill, seems like he played a pretty good game. You watch some of the throws, you go, oh, well, maybe not so much. You know, he was passable, and he got through. Now, for Taysom Hill and the experience of Taysom Hill starting quarterback in the NFL, successor to Drew Brees, is that going to last? Is this going to stick? Is he good enough to keep playing? For now, he is, but really, what's going on with Taysom Hill right now? If you go back and watch that game and you think about where the Saints have been over the years, where this is all tracking, I mean, Taysom Hill's a very unique player, and what they did last week is a testament to him and his athletic ability, but also the coaching in New Orleans is just phenomenal. I mean, they do a great job. Go back and watch that game. Watch that game. I mean, they're doing all these different end-arounds, misdirection. They're doing short, easy throws, the very occasional deep ball. They did enough things there. Quarterback power runs. They have fullbacks in the backfield. Like, they did so many things with Taysom Hill to max him out and make it as easy as possible. Great coaching job. And when they're that good at coaching that they can get solid wins out of Taysom Hill, Atlanta Falcons or not, you go, okay, well, they did that with Taysom Hill, and he was fine. He wasn't bad. He wasn't really good. He was fine. Do you need to stick with him? And that's the fascinating thing now, is when you have this guy at quarterback, you signed him for 2 years, he thinks he's the guy going into next season. If you sit him down in a chair right now and you interview Taysom Hill, I would bet he's like, yeah, I think, if he was really talking honestly and off the air, you know, it'd be, because he's not going to be on this show, let's be honest. If you're talking to Taysom Hill, you go, yeah, you know, my understanding is when I signed here, or I re-signed with them, I'm going to be the quarterback when Drew Brees retires after this season. Guy's got 11 cracked ribs and a collapsed lung. I think he's ready to go at this point. So he thinks he's going to be the guy. How many games do you get of Taysom Hill before Drew Brees comes back? What does he have to look like in those games? How bad does he have to be for him to not be at least the lead candidate next year? Do you keep Jameis Winston as his insurance policy? How much would you increase his contract behind Taysom Hill? What options are out there on the market that you get this guy that's played special teams and running back and tight end and the Wildcat package, and you get this guy, this team player, and you've promised him things, and you go, well, you know, we've got some other guy on the market that's kind of similar. We're going to go with him instead. You know what I mean? At what point, what is the threshold for them to commit to Taysom Hill, and how much can he do to keep this job? as the guy that's going to succeed Drew Brees. Right now, he won his first game. I don't want to overreact to it. I figured he'd win his first game, to be honest with you. It's just he's an experimental, different, multi-threat running back at quarterback. That's a nice thing to have. So can that win a game? Can that surprise people the first game or two? Yeah. What does he look like 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now? If he's playing in 5 weeks, what does he look like then? That's when we'll really know what Taysom Hill is. But for now, he's able to at least passably win a game as a backup quarterback. It's a good start. Guy's 30 years old. It's his first start ever as a quarterback in the NFL. Not bad. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. Now, the fun thing is Taysom Hill is going against the Denver Broncos. Do you know who's playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos? Well, it's not anybody that's on the Broncos and is listed as a quarterback. So, surprise, we're going to get into that next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, yes, Vince Quinn here with you on CBS Sports Radio, talking a lot about, you know, the Broncos playing, just casually playing a game without a quarterback, San Francisco not having a place to play, although it seems like they do have a plan. The county that San Francisco plays in has said no contact sports. And so right now they can't play, but they had problems like this before the season. There was worry before the season with the 49ers specifically that this could happen. So they've had conversations with the NFL. It seems like there's contingencies in place. Maybe that gets solved soon. Maybe. But still a big problem. I mean, you got a home game. They have 1 week to get San Francisco somewhere to play. So just a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. But we should go to college, because here's the thing. Clemson, the whole story is Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is the guy, not just for Clemson, but really for anybody who's a football fan with a terrible team. Everybody wants Trevor Lawrence. James Graceffo, producer of this fine program, who is a miserable Jets fan, desperately wants Trevor Lawrence. But the theories, maybe Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to go pro. Maybe he wants to hold off for another year. Because the 0-16, I will call them that now, and I will just be ahead of the curve. The 0-16 New York Jets are on a collision course for the number one pick. Trevor Lawrence, is he willing to go? Well, here he is after his last game at Clemson.
Last night in Death Valley, super special night. Wouldn't want to go out any other way. Just super grateful to be a part of Clemson University, and even more so this program. Love all the coaches, all the players, and my years here have been amazing. So I'm thankful for everybody, thankful for the fans. Thank you, guys.
There you go, Graceffo. He's going pro, baby.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. No, I am very confident. I am very confident. I mean, for all the nonsense that was said 2 weeks ago when Trevor said, like, the most, you know, generic thing the other day, where he was like, well, you never know what the future holds. I could end up staying here. It was a very Zion Williamson-esque at Duke the 1 year where Zion was like, you never know, I would love to come back to Duke. And everybody and their mother realized that Zion Williamson, there was no chance he was going back to Duke.
No.
The same way, the same thing that's happening is that Trevor Lawrence, there's no chance. There's no, for a multitude of reasons. One, he has a lottery ticket in his hands that any athlete would be willing to cash. Two, Clemson has a quarterback in waiting, ready to play. And if you've seen DJ play, you know he wants to be on the field next year, and Dabo wants him on the field next year. He's not going to lose DJ to some transfer portal.
No, he's not. So Lawrence, I mean, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He's not going to turn down that money, okay? He's just not. And here's the other thing. Even if he didn't want to go to the Jets, he could still go pro and then talk to the Jets and go, listen, guys, I get it. I'm a good-looking lady in your high school class. You want to take me to the prom? I ain't going. You know, I'm going to have somebody else ask me. And it's that simple. He has the ability to say no if he wants to. We went through this
Which,
last
by
year
by the way,
Pro.
Though, what makes Jacksonville a better option? Can you explain that one to me?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or what makes
taxes?
Any of these taxes. Okay, I'll give
really
you that
it.
One.
State
That's
taxes.
It.
Taxes.
That's it. Well, property tax, you want to pay that? Trevor, I'm telling you, you don't want to pay property taxes in Jacksonville, Florida. You don't want to do it. You don't. So you suck it up, you pay a little state tax here. It's all the same.
You'll be fine. Yeah, and here's the other thing, is now it's getting easier and easier to believe that Trevor Lawrence will go to the Jets, because odds are Adam Gase won't be there. That you have another domino that's fallen in the somehow overly complicated removal of a coach that right now is, what, 0-10?
Well, Vince, why do you think the Jets are keeping Gase around?
That has to be it, right?
They know that, you know, this guy sucks the life out of everything that surrounds him. So they know that when they show up today or any other Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever else, Thursday, what else is left on the schedule, these guys aren't going to be ready to play a football game. They weren't ready to play a football game. Did you see the throw Joe Flacco made where he was basically backed up onto the goal line and a Charger jumped in front of it and took two steps and scored? Did you see that?
No, I try to not watch the Jets. That happened?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man. Like, these guys know what's coming. And they don't want to talk about it, but they're getting asked about it already. Frank Gore was like, I'm not going out 0-16. Well, yeah, you are, Frank.
Oh,
unless you get cut, you're going out 0-16. Like, I don't know what to tell you. This is happening.
Yeah.
Like, where are the Jets winning a game? Seattle they have to play yet? The Raiders? Are they beating the Rams? Just, and I'm doing this from memory. You don't think I've looked at the schedule a zillion times? These are just teams that are left on the schedule. The only thing that is troubling is your buddy the Hoodie waiting in week 17 where he's like, you know what? I'm going to do it to him.
I love that. I'm gonna
crush him. I'm going to throw out every practice squad guy I can find and blow it for them.
I just got to get a look at the young players. You know, that's just what we have to do here. We're out of it, so we got to look at the young players here.
That would be such a Belichick move to let Adam Gase and the Jets win their final game, not get Trevor Lawrence, and allow Frank Gore to retire at the same time. He can retire at 1-15. But if he goes 0-16, how embarrassing would it be if Frank Gore was like, listen, guys, when I said I'm not going out 0-16, I meant it. I'm literally playing another year just to remove
myself
from the stink of
the Jets.
Frank,
you know what?
Any
other year, I'd rather have 53 of you. You're a great guy. You're professional. You show up on time. You help out the young guys. Everybody should want to be like Frank Gore as an NFL player. It's true. I mean it. But this year, you know what? You're going to suck, all right? And you're going to have to deal with it, all right? Because I don't care about you a year from now. You'll be gone. You ain't going to be here. Every other Jet that's on a one-year contract, you ain't going to be here. I don't care about you or your morale or any of your feelings. That's it. Bottom line.
Yeah, and that kind of mentality of not caring about feelings, very Matt Patricia of you. Very Matt Patricia indeed.
I have a right. I'm a fan. They don't understand the plight of the fan, these guys. They think, oh man, this one win is really going to help our morale. What's the difference? You go 1-15 or 0-16. Who cares at the end of the day?
Well, yeah, because at that point, the team is so atrociously bad that it's going to be a mark on you as a player regardless.
But again, it's a mark on the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns. You know what I feel like right now? The Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns. I would feel that way if they finished 1-15, 2-14. Oh, and I haven't seen a home playoff game in 20 years. Like, there are people who can drink in a bar, and they haven't seen the Jets play a home playoff game. I'm serious. They haven't seen the Jets win a division title.
It's amazing.
I'm serious. Like, I don't care about their morale. I don't care about their feelings. They're already the Browns and the Lions because they've stunk forever. So if they go 0-16, who cares?
Yeah.
They're already one of the worst organizations in football because of the guy on the sidelines who is clueless.
And by the way, they might actually have to go 0-16 to get the pick. They might have to.
Oh, you know, we're rooting for Jacksonville every week over here.
Yeah.
We're hoping.
I'm rooting for Jacksonville.
Rooting for Mike Glennon like heck today. You know, we're hoping the Chicago, when they play the Bears just decide not to show up for the game.
Well, you got Trubisky in there, so you got a shot. You got an upset shot there. We'll see. We'll see how it plays. It's a big game.
I mean, they've already beaten the Colts. Once they get the Colts again.
855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's sponsored by Geico. Do you rent your home? Sure you do. Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Greg in Houston. Greg, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, guys. I love the show.
Thanks.
I mean, Matt Patricia, what can you say? I mean, we deal with Bill O'Brien here in Houston. And the funny thing about all these expatriate assistant coaches, when they become head coaches, they all want to act like they're Bill Belichick. And they all want to try to be the smartest guy in the room, and even in management. I mean, and it occurs to me with all these guys, after they leave, you start, and even maybe before they leave a place, you start hearing stories about how miserable do you make organizations. I mean, I'd love to know about this the so-called Patriot way of winning, and really what's behind it. Because if this is what you get, I ain't taking it.
Well, yeah, there's no reason to at this point. I mean, you see so many different people. Like, maybe Brian Flores works out. Maybe. Maybe Joe Judge works out. But he also just got in a massive argument with his offensive line coach, usurped him of his power in the middle of the season, and then fired him. So I don't know what's going to happen with Joe Judge. That might be another case of Patriciaism. I have no idea. But that's the kind of stuff we're on track for, Greg. I mean, it's a complete mess. And, like, you're calling in Houston. Are you a Texans fan? Would you want another, like, Bill O'Brien coming in, you know, another New England guy to get in there and turn the Texans around?
No. I want, with Kelmanier, hire an excellent general manager, a great evaluator of talent, somebody who can bring people in here who will make this organization 10 times better. No, I'm sick of the New England theory of, hey, we can do all this stuff, and we're wonderful, and we win. Okay, it's fine, but it's how you act. And this just becomes a joke after a while.
Yeah, it's a joke, man. Everything with the Lions and Patricia and how that all played out, it's a joke. It's funny. I mean, I'm not a Lions fan, so it's funny to me, but it's a joke. It's really been embarrassing. Now, again, if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. I'm Vince Quinn. You'll get on with me. You can find me at It's Vince Quinn. That's all one word. It's Vince Quinn.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth.
I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.